My first core value is relationships matter most. It doesn't matter what I'm dealing with. The relationship is above all. Relationships matter most. The second thing is make it amazing. Like if you're going to halfway do it, like I don't want to be around you. I just don't. If you're leaving something in the tank, like I just don't. You're not going to be in my inner circle. The third thing is no excuses. Like I hate excuses. I don't want any excuses. Like just own it. Just say, hey, I messed up. This is the way it is.
This is the Own It Show, where we tell stories of how everyday people made ownership theirs.
Hey guys, welcome back to another week of the Own It Show. I'm your host, Justin Rothenschofer. And if you're new here, be sure to go scroll down because we've got over 200 episodes. We are just thriving in this space. And there's so much great information that we've taken, not just from my experiences in a life of ownership, but also those that are doing it in the marketplace on a day in and day out basis, because it's really about figuring out what works for you. And we talked on last episode about helping get yourself unlost. And the only way that we can get ourselves unlost is knowing where we are today, because it's easy to know what our goals are, easy to have a vision, easy to be able to look outwards. But if we are only then taking action and continual action, we're going to continue to stay in that twister that won't allow us to take the next step that's going to get us to where we need to be unless we know where we are today. And our guest today, Mr. Aaron Walker, has an unbelievable story and has built his business on a mission that is really near and dear to my heart. And it's about really helping people live that life of success and significance, and doing so in a very purposeful way. Iron sharpens iron. You guys hear me talk about it all the time, very biblical in that sense. And I think a lot of times we live in a world where we talk about iron sharpening iron, but we really don't have the relationships or the openness or the vulnerability or the honesty to make it true iron sharpens iron. When you see iron sharpening iron, it's two ironclads coming together, creating sparks and creating like banging against each other, banging, clashing. And there's some tough things that happen there. But in our society, it's become like pillows softening pillows, really, is what we've seen. And we aren't having the deep conversations. We aren't having the deep intentional relationships. And knowing that this was a direction we wanted to go and something we wanted to talk about, there was nobody better than bringing on than Aaron Walker. And so, Aaron, it's a pleasure to have you here. And thank you for taking time to pour into our audience today.
Hey, Justin, thanks for having me, man. I like your analogy about the pillow against the pillow, right? I have to use that. I haven't said that, but that's pretty cool because that's what a lot of guys use today, right? There's not much iron sharpening iron. Man, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate you allowing me to be your guest.
No, 100%. It's great to see what you're doing with your mastermind and the way that you've brought people together and the way you've coached them up to really ultimately live that purpose-driven life that's aligned in faith and purpose. Mm-hmm. And when you've taken, and really at its core, that's what we call ownership, is living life with real, authentic relationships and impactful accountability so that what we can do is live life by design. And when we live life by design, it's amazing to see what our calling truly comes out of us. And yeah. I'd love to kind of learn a little bit why you have felt so called to help people with deep relationships, why you felt so called to build something that is founded in and rooted in that.
Yeah, I've got to go back and give you a little context, if I could, a little bit about how I grew up, where I grew up. I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, came from a very poor family. My dad was a great man, high character, integrity. He was just a horrible business person. And we grew up in a little 600 square foot house. My dad never made probably over $15,000 a year in his life. And I watched him physically work hard. He was a general contractor. And I watched how he had to sweep the snow off of the roofs in the winter, you know, to re-roof the houses to have food to eat in the winter. And I was like, man, I don't want to do that. Like, I want to make something a little bit more of myself. And so when I was 13, I got a job in a local pawn shop, fell in love with that process. I went to school night and day for about a year and a half. Once I got into high school, I was able to graduate the beginning of my junior year in high school. Met a couple of guys that had a lot of money because obviously I didn't have any. And I went to them one day and I said, why don't we take your money and my experience and open a pawn shop? And they started laughing. They said, how old are you? And I said, I'm 18. He said, how much experience could you have at 18 years old? I said, well, I've been here since I was 13. Told him a little bit about my story. And to make a really long story short, they agreed to do it. They did a little due diligence on me, found out I was a pretty good guy, and handed me a checkbook with $150,000 in it. And I went and opened a pawn shop and waited on my wife to graduate high school. 2 weeks after she graduated, we got married. So we sat in our little 600 square foot condo. And I said, Robin, we may never get this chance again. She's 18. At this time, I'm 19. And I said, we're going to pour every dollar we've got into this company. We're not going to take any salary out of it except what we have to live. And we paid a $150,000 10-year loan off in 36 months. And I said, you know, I think I can do it again. And I did. And I continued to repeat that numbers of times. When I was 27 years old, a Fortune 500 out of Fort Worth approached me, made me an offer I couldn't refuse. And I was retired at 27. And I thought, well, this is pretty cool, you know, go from broker than a convict to being able to retire at age 27. Till I started getting fat and lazy and getting in the bed in the middle of the day and become extremely depressed. And Robin woke me up from a nap. She said, this is not what I signed up for. And I'm like, what do I do? She said, get another job. I don't care. Go back in business. I don't care what you do, but you got to get out of the bed and you've got to make something of yourself. You've gained 50 pounds in 18 months. And this is not what I signed up for.
And that was a year and a half later after you sold your business.
Yeah, yeah. I was bored out of my mind, Justin. I was playing golf in the middle of the day with guys 65, 70 years old. And you can only fish and hunt so much. And I'm like, there's no purpose. There's no meaning. There's no aspiration. There's no goals. And I went back and bought the company I started with when I was 13. And we quadrupled it over the next 10-year period. And then I like to say that's really when my life began. August 1st, 2001. I'd left our church and I went there every Wednesday morning. There were five of us that met there with our pastor. We would pray for our families and pray for our businesses. And I'd left there and it was hot. You know, it's August in Nashville. It's very hot here. And I was going down 386 and there was a pedestrian crossing the street to catch a bus. And I watched it unfold in front of me, a four-lane highway. He'd paused in the median waiting for me to, you know, come by. And so I depressed the gas and I sped back up. I was probably doing 50. As soon as I got to him, he took off running for the bus and he didn't see me and I ran over him. And yeah, it's pretty tough. This story is, you have to bear with me for a minute as we get through it, but I pulled over to the side of the road and like I didn't know what happened. It was like I was watching a movie unfold. It was like slow motion. And I was like, there's no way that I just ran over that guy. And I turned around, looked, obviously he was face down in the street, motionless. Cars were stopping everywhere and ambulances, police cars came. And I got out of the car and walked over and identified myself. And they escorted me back, put me in the patrol car. And I sat there for the next hour, hour and a half while they taped off the road and took the pictures and those kind of things. And they put him on a gurney, put him in the ambulance and took him away. And policeman got in the car and I said, man, did he make it? And he said, he's still alive, got severe head trauma, and we don't know if he's going to make it. So 2 days later, they called me on a Saturday morning. That was on a Wednesday. They called me on a Saturday morning, 3 days later. And they said, I was told to call you and let you know how Enrique was doing. And I said, yes. And they said, he didn't make it. Well, Justin, I can't even begin to tell you, buddy, what I was feeling that day. And it was a lot of time for reflection after that. So I had a great amount of success. We had the big house, the cars, the place on the beach. We had all the things. But I started surveying my life saying, is this what it's about? I mean, is it just about more stuff? And is it about having more opportunity? Is it just about greater, you know, houses and more beach houses? Or what is it? And God really impressed upon me and said, you've had a great amount of success, but no significance. And I was like, man, what does that even mean? And I said, so I dove in a little bit, really researched what significance meant and found out that I hadn't meant anything to anybody except to my family. And I retired for the third time. My wife said I've retired more than the law allows, but I retired. I said, I'm done. I took the next 5 years off. And a guy that I had been doing business with for years came to me, saw me at a concert at the Curb Center, and he said, "Hey, I want to invite you to join my mastermind group." And I said, "I'm not, I don't even know what that is." And he said, "It's where we get together and we share life. We're vulnerable, we're transparent, it's meaningful. It helps you deliver a purpose to the people that you come in contact with," and all the things that sounded good, but it wasn't of interest to me. And I went home and I told Robin, I said, "You think I should do this? Like, we know this guy," and I don't mind sharing who it was. I had started sponsoring his show when he first started here in Nashville. It's Dave Ramsey. And I was Dave's second sponsor on his radio show. And I said, "Dave's hardcore, you know, he's up in your face and he's going to be asking me very personal questions. And I'm not sure I want to answer that." She said, "Why don't you just go check it out and try it?" So I did. And I was quiet. I just listened. And I did that month after month. And the guys were opening up. They were talking about challenges in their marriage. They were talking about challenges with kids. And they were talking about cash flow issues and all the stuff that all of us deal with. And I went home and I was laughing. I said, "Robin, I think I found my people." I said, "They're as screwed up as I am." And she said, "Well, what are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going to join the group." So, Justin, I spent the next 10 or 12 years meeting in Dave's office every Wednesday morning for an hour and a half. And it showed me the real value of having trusted advisors that were unbiased in my life, because I'd never had that. I'd always winged it. I'd always said, "I'll figure it out on my own. I don't want anybody to know I'm having challenges. I don't want people to know that my kids misbehave. I don't want them to know that Robin and I are in disagreements." And once I really come to the realization that it was the right thing to do, the veil came down. There was no facade any longer, and I had a safe environment to really understand what living a true life of meaning and purpose was about. It was because I had people that were not judgmental. There was no condemnation. They were people that were willing to help me. And when I retired for the last time 12 years ago, when I turned 50, I'm 62 now, I said, "I want to go on a mission to help people really understand what living a life of success and significance is all about." And that's how we birthed View from the Top. And that's when I started Iron Sharpens Iron Mastermind.
It's amazing. I love it. The when you talk about the depth of relationships that were there and what you started to see, how important is it that people are able to find their people? People are able to find people that they can be open with, they can relate to, they can grow with.
Well, here's the thing. We're all unique, right? You and I can have some alignment in core values. We can have similar worldviews, but we're unique. God created us to be unique. And so we don't need to change the person necessarily. We need to find a lane that they can thrive in. We need to find a place that you can uncover your genius, if you will. And so what we try to encourage people to do is to pare away the things in our lives that we want to get rid of, but don't change your personality. God uniquely made you, you. You see, isolation is the enemy of excellence.
Yeah.
And if we really want to live in community, we've got to be around people that can shore us up. They can hold our arms up when we're tired. They can encourage you. They can show empathy. They can throw the flag on you. And that's what I like. That's where the iron sharpens iron part comes in. It's like, if you really love somebody, you'll be frank with them. You'll tell them where their superpowers are and you'll congratulate them. But you'll also point out their kryptonite and you'll point out their blind spots. And see, the blind spots is what normally will get us. Actually, I wasn't prepared to talk about this, but I will talk about it since you asked the question the way you did. I got myself in real trouble years ago, decades ago now, because I had a sizable amount of income. I had no accountability. And the choices that we make as a result of that oftentimes can not end well. And it almost cost me my family. It almost cost me my relationship with my wife. And because there was no one around me that was asking me the tough questions. You wouldn't have had me on this show 30 years ago. You know, I was very arrogant. I was very condescending. I had made something of myself by the age of 27, something that most people don't accomplish in a lifetime. And you start believing your own press clippings. You start thinking you're the wonder child. You're the golden boy. Everything you touch turns to gold. You start believing these things until you're introduced to people like Dave Ramsey or like Alan Lindsay, or like I could name a list of people that call you out. They call your BS out in a minute, and they say, hey, you can't talk that way to your wife, and you've got to show up, and you've got to do these things that you say you will do. And if you are a believer, I'm a Christ follower, you've got to live that way. You can't just talk that way. Your actions are screaming loudly about the person that you actually are. And until you get people around you that know you, that have context to your situation, they can't help you. I went to a coffee shop a couple of weeks ago. A guy invited me to come, and I went to the coffee shop, and I know him, but not intimately. And I said, let me ask you a question. We'll call him Anthony. I said, Anthony, let me ask you a question. Robin and I live in Nashville, and we're thinking about buying a condo in South Florida. My granddaughter goes to school down in Palm Beach. And I said, we're thinking about buying a condo. Do you think that'll be a good idea? And I just was silent. And he looked at me and he said, well, Big A, everybody calls me Big A. He said, Big A, you've done well. You've owned a number of companies. And yeah, I think it would be a good idea. I said, why do you think it would be a good idea? And I was just sitting there quiet, and he was puzzled. He was pretty perplexed. And he was just looking at me like you're looking at me. And he said, well, you said you wanted one. And I said, yeah. I said, what other reason? He said, well, all these businesses you've owned, I'm sure you can afford it. I said, okay, what else? He said, that's all I got. And I said, well, here's the truth of the matter. You don't know Robin, never met her. You don't know Brooke and Holly, my two daughters. You don't know any of my five grandchildren. You don't know my aspirations. You don't know my propensity in business. You don't know my goals for the future. You have no idea what my vision is. And you certainly don't know if I can afford it. He said, no, I don't. I said, you really can't help me, can you? He said, no, I really can't. You know why he couldn't, Justin? He has no context. And yet we do that every single day. We go out here. The people listening to my voice right now ask their buddies all the time. They ask people all the time. They go on these weekend mastermind group meetings where you're wearing a name tag over a fire and ask questions, and you give an answer, and you have no context to their situation. You go home and you're frustrated because it doesn't work. That's why we need lifelong friends. That's why we need people that we can spend week after week, month after month, year after year with, so that they have context. I could give you advice, and it may be good advice, but it may not be good advice because it's not contextual to your situation. And the people that operate on the premise that I'm speaking on, they exponentially grow faster because the people have context to their scenario. They know what their superpowers are. They know exactly what their kryptonite is, and they know what their blind spots are, so that when they give advice, they can go out and implement that and it works. Otherwise, it's probably not going to work.
No, it's such a great point. And so often when even for me, and I mean, I've talked about this a lot on this show, is during my time in the National Hockey League, my network was looking back was something that was based on superficial things, based off of status, based off of money, based off of fame and who you were and what you did, not what went on actually behind the scenes, not what the actual truth was, not what your real life was. And I think the depth of relationships are ultimately what determines our success or demise. And when we can have true depth of relationship, when we can get truly vulnerable with people, and that's why, again, I hate these cliches, but the smaller your network, the more impactful it's going to be. And I hear it all the time, and I never knew what it really meant until I started to experience what getting a small, deep, integrated network really felt like and why that was so important. Because going back to even that first part we talked about, is everyone's happy to talk about their dreams. Everybody's happy to talk about where they want to go.
Right.
Yeah, everyone's happy to talk about that. But very few people will be able to talk about where they truly are.
Here's the thing, Justin. There's including me. We had a difficult discussion yesterday. We went to church yesterday and they taught on marriage. We went to our small group afterwards. The same 10 couples we've been meeting for 20 years. The same 10 couples, 20 years. That's a lot of context, right? We left that talking about marriage and we got in the car. Justin, you know, I've been married longer than most of the people listening to this podcast interview, right? I've been married 43 years. And we got in the car and I said, Robin, you know, what can we learn from this? And it turned into an all afternoon discussion on an area of my life that I was not even cognizant of, that Robin highlighted, that I was doing that was pushing her away. See, people are laying in bed every night and they're discussing topics that they don't want anybody else to know about. They don't want anybody else to know that they're having communication problems or financial challenges, or that they have a wayward son, or they have a promiscuous daughter, and they deteriorate because they don't have trusted advisors that they can go to and trust in to help them get counseling, to do coaching, to do masterminding, to get support. We're all going to be faced with traumatic experiences in our life. I've got a daughter right now that's facing a possible terminal illness, and it's devastating to our family. She's 36 years old. And so we're going through that right now as a family, and I need people that I can lean on. If I hadn't spent time investing in the relationships that I've done over the decades, it would be a lonely place that we're in right now, just to be totally candid with you. But there's so many people out there today that they don't want to share these things with other people because they want to put on this facade. They want everybody to think they got it together, their little 2.3 children, their three cars, their six-figure income, and they don't want people to know that they've got problems in their life. We all have problems in their life. If you're listening to me right now and you don't have problems in your life, you will have problems in your life. It's just the way God laid it out. We're going to deal with situational problems. And I want to encourage those listening to me right now to build the relationships before you need them. Listen, if I hadn't had relationships all along my journey, I would be in a fetal position under my desk right now because of the devastations and the travesties and the lost businesses and the health problems and taking the life of a pedestrian and everywhere in between. We need people around us. God designed us to be in community. And I just want to encourage those today. Listen, the average man doesn't have three friends that he can say they know everything about me. Most men, it's one, if any. And we need people around us to help us work through these problematic areas in our life.
Totally. What would you, Aaron, what would you say when people are first starting? Because it's so easy to say, yeah, you got to be vulnerable. You got to go out. You got to create these relationships. But I'm not going to, and I can guarantee you all the listeners aren't going to just go out and meet somebody at a gym and start telling me all your problems and being as vulnerable as you can. Like that's not real. And so the biggest thing in creating this is, and this is in experiences that I've even had, because I've been on the other side of this where I was that person that didn't have one person that I would tell everybody to or tell everything to, because I didn't feel connected to people in that way. I didn't feel like I could trust people in that way. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I had three things for me, and I'm curious to see what yours were.
Sure.
But for me, you have to be aligned in values for me. Yeah. The value system that I operate from has to be a value system in which you operate from.
Sure.
Two is our sense of faith and reliance on Jesus. Yeah. If that's not a foundational piece of what you are, then I can't truly do that either. And number three is you either have to have been through what I've been through, or you have to be where I want to be in order to share that in that depth in that area. So those are those three things for me that I kind of put everything through. Yeah. And I would put a fourth one on there, that the person that I'm seeking out is also seeking it out from somebody else.
Yeah.
And so those are kind of like my four parameters that I go through, that I shift through to figure out, okay, who am I going to lean on? Is this somebody that I can create this open, honest, transparent relationship with or not? I'm curious as to what yours are as our audience tries to do this for themselves.
Yeah, we'll go back. We've got similar, and then we've got a couple that I want to break down with you a little bit. So first is the core values have to align. Our core values, and I'll go through them quickly with you. My first core value is relationships matter most. It doesn't matter what I'm dealing with. The relationship is above all. Relationships matter most. The second thing is make it amazing. Like if you're going to halfway do it, like I don't want to be around you. I just don't. If you're leaving something in the tank, like I just don't. You're not going to be in my inner circle. The third thing is no excuses. Like I hate excuses. I don't want any excuses. Like just own it. Just say, hey, I messed up. This is the way it is. The other day, a buddy of mine texted me and he said, hey, man, we eating lunch today? And I looked at the clock and it was 10 after 12. And I said, yeah, I'll be right there. Drove up there and I walked in and he looked at me. He's like, what's up? And I said, I have a good excuse. And he looked at me because he knows my third core value is no excuses. And he goes, yeah, what is it? I said, I forgot you. He goes, okay, I can live with that. And so I sat down. I didn't put him in my calendar, right? I forgot. It's not, hey, I got busy at work, man, or I got behind the bus and traffic is bad. It's like, just own it, whatever it is. The fourth one is everything is figure outable. My team knows not to come to me and say, hey, there's no way we can do this. Oh, there's a way. We'll figure it out. Everything's figure outable. It may not look exactly like I designed it originally. We'll figure it out. And then the last one coincides with what you said is truth before opinion. And for me, truth is found in God's word. There's 66 books. I'm going to run it through those 66 books first, and then your opinion matters to me. But first place I'm going is God's word. The second thing for me is alignment of worldview. I'll listen to other people, but we have to have similarities in our worldview. So core values, worldview. And then one that you said that I understand where you're going with it, but I push back a little bit. My inner circle doesn't have to have been there or even going there, but it's the counsel of the multitudes. It's the collective wisdom of a group of people. So for me, it's prayer, God's word, in the consensus of the multitude. And so they don't necessarily have to be aspiring to do the thing I want to do or even have done the thing I want to do. But I know that I've got competent, capable men that are very wise, that there's a collection of that wisdom and there's a consensus. And so for me, I have a great idea every day. I get out of the shower. I got three new ideas every day. And I used to go to Dave Ramsey's mastermind and I'm full of energy. You know, I'm full of a lot of stuff, but I'm full of energy. I'd go to the group and I'd say, hey, man, I'm going to do this. And Dave Ramsey would go, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. And Dan Miller would go, no, wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. If we do this, if we take away this and we give this resource and we add this in the network, maybe he's on to something, right? And so now we've got a collection of wisdom. We've got guys that have experienced a part of it, right? And other guys have resources or other guys have someone in their network. There's a consensus to put it together. Now it's like, maybe this thing may work. But if the vast majority go, no, and here's why, I'm going to table it. I'm not going to do it because I think I'm stronger or smarter than the collection of these 8 or 10 guys that I've been doing life with for a dozen years. That usually hasn't worked out well for me. And so it's that consensus of the multitude for me.
Totally. And I think, and I'll lean into what I was mentioning about having been there or sure. Are there ahead, is because even to that example you just gave, this individual that said, oh no, that's a great idea. He may have not built that.
Right.
But what he's done is built something similar. And so he knows. He can time collapse it for you.
Sure.
I'm not going to go and ask my single friend or my friend who's been divorced six times what a great situation is to have a 43 year long marriage. Like that's just not something that I'm going to do. And so that's that piece that comes into this is when you are seeking people in your network, when you're seeking people in that space, make sure you have clarity on what you're trying to do and where you're trying to go. Because, and again, I say this, but never take the shirt from the man who isn't wearing one. Because it's so often that people who don't yield the fruit in their lives are talking about how to do things, are coaching up on things, are selling their services, are creating these mastermind groups, are creating these think tanks of people that don't have the fruit in their lives. Maybe they've won in business. Maybe they've got a 7, 8-figure, 9-figure business. Maybe they've got all the cars, all the vacations, all the houses, but their family's in disarray. Or their health is in disarray, or their faith is in disarray, or you've got somebody who's got all of it, looks the way you want to look, is fit, has the boyfriend, the girlfriend, the family, but yet can't scrape a dollar together because they don't know how to build business. Like, understand the whole person and which you're getting in with, and who you're seeking advice from, and who you're seeking mentorship from, because those people are ultimately what you will end up sowing later on. And so,
Justin, that's the very thing that we were just referring to a while ago. So much life happens now so fast. You can't give context unless you're meeting with somebody on a regular basis. basis. You don't have the time. Yep. They don't have the bandwidth, and you don't have the time to share all of the pieces that go into making these. That's the reason some of the most successful, most wealthy people there are, whether it be board of directors, mastermind group, peer advisory group, call it whatever you want, right? Somebody asked me how far it went back, and I said, well, Jesus had 12. Okay. So I don't know. He had a group there. And so it goes way back. And so my point is we can go so much further, so much faster when you have a collective group of people around you. It's not about just being vulnerable and telling somebody you got a drinking problem or telling somebody you looked at porn, or that's a part of it. We had a guy join our mastermind group. By the way, we have 150 members. We have 15 groups, about to launch a new group in our mastermind now. First time I've launched one in 5 years. I haven't wanted to. I was like, I don't want to manage any more people, but God put on my heart all these lives being transformed. Like God said, I'll tell you when you're going to slow this thing down. So it's been fun to go through that exercise. But the thing is that we need people around us to give us that sense of encouragement, to give us the ability to have empathy when you need it, to give you encouragement, to give you the resources. Plus, you're leveraging all of the resources and the networking of all the members in your group. So you're just 10Xing everything that you've got when you're around these people. And it just opens so many doors. Jeff Hoffman spoke at an event. I talked to him in the hall afterwards. He was one of the founders of Priceline. And he was talking about some of the things that he does that really broadens his horizon. And I wanted to share this because I thought it was unique. He said he reads multiple hours a day, but he said 10% of his reading has nothing to do with anything of interest. And I'm like, well, you got to help me understand that. And he said, well, the irony of it is that 90% of the things that have been successful have come out of that 10% reading. It opens new doors. When you read something that's brand new, whatever that is, that has no correlation whatsoever with anything that you're interested in, it gives you a new perspective. That's exactly what masterminds do. It gives you the ability to see inside of something that you didn't even know it was a thing. You didn't even know to know that. And that's why I'm so infatuated. 25 years now, I've been dealing in masterminds weekly, been in a group that long every single week, multiple groups oftentimes, because it just opens so many doors. It opens my thinking. It gives me new insight. It gives me the ability to see things from other people's perspective. Like I can dodge landmines because I'm around people that have been there and they're holding the flashlight. They say, don't go this way, go this way. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I'm in. And so, yeah, exponentially greater success as a result of being in these communities.
I love it. It's so true. And the more that we can lean in and figure out who our people are and have a tribe of people that we can do life with, it helps keep us on track and it helps time collapse what we would otherwise have to experience on ourselves. And I think that's what's so key about it. And I mean, I can even go back in my life. Some of my best and closest friends in 2021, the biggest goal I had was to connect deeply with five men. Those five men, so I've known them for less than 18 months, have become what I would call my best friends. Sure. And my best friends are, I'm 35 years old. My best friends are people that I've met within the last 2 years. And I think that is a testament to also the life change that's happened and the impacts and the growth and all of these things that are occurring and the fruit that you're realizing is because you've come into this new space. Aaron, I'd love to ask, and we ask this in every episode, but like, what is your definition in a word or phrase of ownership?
What is my definition of ownership? I think believing it to the core for me would be ownership. It's not something that I have to think about. And it's kind of like my faith. I know we've talked a lot about faith. I think we share the same faith in Christianity, but I don't have to think about that to own it. It's like God is Lord, and he's either master of all or he's master of none. And so for me, it's, that's what ownership would be.
I love it. Guys, as you go forward, I really encourage you to lean into more of Aaron's content, more of Aaron's work. Aaron, if they're interested, where can they get a hold of you? Where can they contact you?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Check us out at viewfromthetop.com. I also host a podcast there. I'd love for you to check that out. We're launching a couple of new groups right now. And if you're interested in learning more, just go to viewfromthetop.com. There's an application there. There's nothing, no strings attached. It puts you in front of me for about 45 minutes and we can have a dialogue and a conversation. I want to help you. I want to take you to where you want to go and let's see if it's a good fit. If it makes sense, we'd love to have you.
I love it. Guys, as you go forward, I don't know where you're sitting as you're listening to this, but you could feel a little bit lost. You could feel like you know where you're going. You've got this great vision, this great mission, this great calling on your life, but yet you just don't know how to get there. And you've tried and you've struggled and you just need somebody to push the back tires down so they get that rubber to meet the road and away you go. Because there's a calling on each and every one of you. There's a calling on each and every one of your lives to not just be mediocre, but to be great, to be excellent, and to realize that in a level that is unexplainable. And through that journey, when we trust that journey, we're going to go to the tops of the mountains and we're going to be at the depths of the valleys. But guess what? Somebody that isn't tried can't be trusted. And so realize that you are going to be tried. And when you continue to lean into that calling, you continue to keep pushing, you continue to keep your eyes on that. That is when you're going to come out on top. And that is when you're going to find that life of success with significance. What do we always say? Success is different. So own your different. I will see you guys next week.